Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, Illinois. It is beautiful out here, folks. It feels like spring, even though we're near the lake. But I got some bad news for you people living in Chicago. Maybe you know it better than I do. The bad weather is coming. Cold weather is on the way. That's what they say about Chicago's weather. You walk around the corner, every time you turn the corner, it changes. And it does. It really does, and I hate it. And a lot of us just can't stand it, but we got to deal with it because we're here. But, you know, the cold, the rain, the clouds, they will subside, and the sun will come out again, of course. And then it'll change again. That's the way it is here in Chicago. I just hope it's a little bit better than where you are. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show, an internet show. It's a popular show, folks. Don't kid yourselves. It's a popular show. 347-857-1762 is my number in case you want to chime in. My guest today is Tara Turner. She will be on the show. I've talked to her a little bit before the show, and she seems excited. I'm excited, and she has a lovely sounding voice, and you're going to like that. I'm pretty sure she's going to inform us on things that we ought to know and things that we should adhere to, you know, but that's up to us, right? She will be on the show a little later on. So stay in tune with me for that. Well, like I've been saying for, I don't know, the last 6 or 7 or 8 months, that I am a Bernie supporter. And I've been saying that, and I still am, even though he lost New York, and obviously he is out of it, you know, so he's out of it. He's out of the race, but he gave it all he had. For somebody who's 74, 75 years old, he gave it all he had, and I totally appreciate him. I totally look up to him, you know, because he's done the things that people his age wouldn't do, couldn't do, or, you know, this guy is just phenomenal. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to applaud him for trying his best to win. I mean, he's won in some states. And I don't know what happened. His crowds were bigger than Hillary's. But you know what? We still have to move on. We got to move on. The media is saying that he's out of it, and he could be. You know, because he lost in a landslide. He lost big. He lost astronomical. Whether he will go on is something we're going to have to find out, or I'm pretty sure he's talking to his handlers about that, but he gave it a good ride. He really did. I mean, he had a lot of us in his corner. Movie stars, entertainers, ordinary people, you know, he had us all in his pocket. We were going to vote for him in the general election, but somehow Hillary overtook him, and uh, she's She looks like she's going to be the first woman president of the United States. I know some women are glad of that. Some of them mean it's, you know, just like Barack Obama supposedly is the first African-American. Some people doubt that, but Hillary's going to be the first woman president of the United States. Please don't call into the show or don't inbox me or email me saying that, you know, that it's going to be Donald Trump. No way it's going to be Donald Trump. But Donald Trump crucified. He totally crucified Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, I think he should give up, but I don't think he is. Ted Cruz on the Republican side of the aisle with Donald Trump, he came in third place. Well, actually, Ted Cruz cooked his own goose when he said in one of those debates, one of those last debates that they had, the Republicans debate, that New Yorkers, something to the effect that they didn't know anything about family values or something like that. And New Yorkers took offense to that, and, you know, and he lost. You don't screw with New Yorkers, Ted, when you're trying to get their vote. You don't screw around with them, man. And he came in third place. Whether he is done, I don't know. We have to figure that out. We have to see in the days coming. He could go all the way to the convention, and still Donald Trump would wind up being a nominee. And but I'm really, wow, I am really sad, and I feel bad for Bernie Sanders. I feel bad for him because he worked his ass off. And at his age, I think he deserved it. But somehow the people of New York just didn't come through for him. And as I've said in many, many, many shows, I do believe that Bernie Sanders is more of a New Yorker than Hillary Clinton. Bernie was born in Brooklyn, New York. He was born there. So that's more of his hometown than it is of Hillary. Hillary lives there, and she was the senator from New York some time ago. But still in all, Bernie was born there. She wasn't. But, you know, we have to forget about Bernie, not forget about him, but we have, in terms of the election, we have to, you know, galvanize behind Hillary Clinton. She's a Democrat. At least that's what she says. She is a Democrat. So we have to galvanize around her. She will be a third Obama term. Hopefully not. So we have to galvanize behind her. We cannot, you know, because national polling shows that she will beat Donald Trump. National polling shows that. But I want to say to all those folks out there who are dismayed, just like I am, at the loss, the big loss in New York for Bernie Sanders, we have to get over it. We can't moan forever. We can't cry for Bernie forever. We have to move on and think about the best for this country. All of those Bernie supporters, each and every one of those Bernie supporters who voted for Bernie has to turn around and now support Hillary Clinton. As much as it hurts me to say that, it's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen. You know, we're going to have to swallow our pride, hold our nose and put Hillary in the office. Because no matter what some of you guys and girls think of Hillary Clinton, she is much better than a Donald Trump. And a Donald Trump is much better than a Ted Cruz, even though the White House should see neither one of those guys. Kasich, he might as well drop the hell out. I think Kasich is in, John Kasich, of the governor of Ohio. I believe this guy is in it just for the FaceTime on camera, on television. I think he likes the media. I think he likes the town halls. I think he likes holding onto a microphone. I think he's in it for a photo op. You know, I can't see anything else why this guy is continuing on in a race he cannot win. He will not win. It's over. It's been over about two or three debates ago, but he's still hanging in there, you know, and two or three primaries ago, you know, and he's still hanging in there. I just totally believe he's in there for FaceTime, to be on television, for attention. You know, obviously he doesn't get enough attention being governor of Ohio. But, you know, I mean, being on the national stage is what he likes. That has to be what it's all about with John Kasich, because he should have been gone a long time ago. The Republican race should have been a two-man race, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. But Kasich hung in there, siphoning votes away from probably both candidates. Totally he's siphoning votes away from Ted Cruz. Okay, and I'm pretty sure Ted Cruz is pissed off about that, because, you know, but there's nothing you can do. If the man doesn't want to leave the race, you can't make him, you can't force him. You can only do it on his own terms. And John Kasich he's like the spoiler on the Republican side between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. He's like the spoiler, and he has spoiled this for Ted Cruz. I believe if Ted Cruz had not Ted Cruz, but if John Kasich had dropped out earlier, Ted Cruz could have, you know, won New York, or he wouldn't have lost by so many points as he did yesterday on primary night in April. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am a little bit sad, but I got to get over it. We all are, especially if you were a Bernie supporter. I mean, a lot of us are just, you know, shaking our heads. Maybe he's going to go all the way to Pennsylvania. I don't know. But what I'm hearing that even if Bernie winds up winning every state he still will not have enough delegates to clinch the nomination to be president of the United States. It will be Hillary, no matter what. Even if he decides to continue on, it will be Hillary. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Internet Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and this is a pretty good show, folks, if I have to say myself. You know, I have great guests coming on the show. If I can divert a little bit, I have great guests coming on the show. I love my guests, and they're informative. And also, I have people booked on the show. I book majority of the guests that appear on the show. I book them. I also get guests on the show who are not who they say they are. You know, yeah. And it kind of surprises me that a guest who gets on my show and says they're this and that, and they do this and that, and, you know, and they think that I don't know. You know, it doesn't bother me. If you want to come on the show and lie about what you do or what you are, that's your problem. Because, you know, I mean, if you want to use your 15, 20 minutes for that, you know, so, you know, there's no skin off my nose, you know, But the majority of guests that come on the show, they're bright, they're smart, they're truthful, and they're really trying to get the word out about whatever they're doing and trying to convince us that we should read their book or buy their product, or that somehow it's going to be very helpful to us. Then I might get a guest on the show who claims to be, you know, this, that, whatever, you know, and the minute we have a conversation, I can tell immediately that this guest is not that. This guest is lying about being those things. They just want to be on the radio. They just want to come on the radio and just talk and hopefully have an audience. But you got a lot of guests, a lot of people who will not call in because they're shy. They're shy about calling in. I mean, you know, and that's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. They sit back and listen and enjoy the show because it's a popular show, and I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of that. But I do try to get guests on the show that are going to be truthful. No liars, but if you want to lie, well, use your time to lie. That's up to you. Like I said before, there's no skin off my nose, as long as you hold a good conversation. But I can't tell. As a host of a radio show, I can't tell if a guest comes on the show and they start talking about this or that. I can tell if they're basically being truthful or deceitful. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're waiting for my guest, Tara Turner. in a few minutes. So you guys stick around for that. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to take a musical break, and I will be right back. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. All right, we're back. Let's see if we can't. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I am all over the folks, place, folks. All righty. Just wanted to make sure. I just gotten something that I want to share. In Chicago, there's the leader of the Chicago's Teachers Union in Chicago. The city where I'm, where I reside, the city where this show is broadcast from, she just called the governor, Bruce Rauner, of this state, Karen Lewis. She's the teachers She's the president of the teachers union in the city of Chicago. She just called our governor, our failure governor, the governor that has failed this state. I mean, if you listen to the show, you've heard me talk about him in a negative way for months. And she just called him an ISIS terrorist. I kid you not. I'm just learning this myself. She just... the schools are broke. Chicago public schools are totally broke. They have no money. And at one time, Governor Rauner wanted to take $74 million away from the school and give it to schools downstate. He wanted to take that money from poor schools and give it to schools that actually did not need the money. And majority of that time has been wasted, you ask me. The guy is like Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. And she just called him a sitting governor, an ISIS terrorist. Okay, let's get to the outrageous first. On Wednesday, Karen Lewis, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, called Governor Bruce Rauner the new ISIS recruit. I mean, hey, Rauner, I think he's a bad governor. I think he's an awful governor, but I don't think he's an ISIS recruit. I'm pretty sure she's got to have some backing on that. And I quote, you know, she said in a speech to the Chicago Club of Chicago. Okay, I'm quoting her. I've been reading in the news lately about all of these ISIS recruits popping up all over the place. Has Homeland Security checked this man out? Speaking of Governor Bruce Rauner, I mean, Bruce Rauner is going to hear this and he's just going to, you know, he's just going to blow it away. He's just going to blow it off as somebody else accusing him of something he's not or calling him names. But he is an awful governor. But I don't know if he's an ISIS recruit, you know, but because the things he's doing acts like, okay, he's saying the things that he's doing are acts of terror. I don't think there's acts of terror. I think they're just totally, totally heartless and uncalled for. That's what I think. But I'm pretty sure the press is going to be running to her as if, why did you call your governor of your state an ISIS recruit? And she's going to have a lot to say about that. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Folks, we're going to go to the phones right now and see what we have here. I believe I know it's... Hi, Tara. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me.
No problem. No problem. Anytime. I'm sorry for the confusion if there was any. I did send you a couple of emails because I did that because I think the first email that I sent you inviting you to be on the show, the number was off one digit. You know, so I sent this.
That's
okay,
quite
so
all right.
I
was flattered. I thought you wanted me on 2 days in a row. I was going to say, hey, this is nice.
No, because I...
So you burst
my
bubble there. So.
No. I was, you know, I was, you know, I'm so busy with the show and I'm always trying to, I'm always typing and all this kind of stuff, you know. And
congratulations
you know,
on your show success. It was a bit of a runaway success for you there, quite unexpected. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you so much. But you know what? I should congratulate also all the guests that have appeared on the show and the callers. They made the show. You know, I mean, I'm just here as a hanger on. But, you know, it's the people out here who listen to the show, call the show, participate in the show, and give the show positive feedback. I also get negative feedback, but I always tell people, you're going to give me
important.
Negative feedback. Try to give me some constructive feedback, please.
Exactly. Yes, from one author
right.
to another. And we know the value of that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, just don't say nasty things and, you know, it
mm-hmm.
happens. All right. Tell
it
people
does.
About
it
yourself.
Does.
Give us a little bit of your background.
Oh, okay. Love to. Well, my name is Tara Woods Turner, and I'm an author. I'm also a certified etiquette professional, which is basically I'm the good manners coach. I work with individuals and small groups just to help them perfect their social interaction skills, those soft skills. skills that are so necessary, kind of lubricate our social, our interface with one another, and not only in business, but just even within, even amongst family members or friends. It just makes everything more pleasant, actually. It's a wonderful way to show mm-hmm. respect to others, you know, by respecting yourself, of course. So that's what I do. I'm also a publisher. I write and publish etiquette curriculum for schools, churches, and other nonprofit organizations. That's also a lot of fun. So I'm kind of the Miss Manners, I guess, of the Bronx. I live in New York. And I also
have family
in North Carolina, so I'm kind of all over the place. And as you know, I'm an author. I just published Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. And it's a wonderful book for parents, parenting guide. So good to be on the show.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on. I mean, I really do appreciate it because you know, I was sending those double emails. I said, they're going to think I'm nuts. I mean, you're sending up too many emails, but, you know, I try not to. If I find a mistake or something in something that I've written, I try to, you know, straighten it out. Okay, Tara,
information is always better than not enough. I can tell you that. So you're fine.
All right, thank you. What is CPO? I see CPO. CEP. What is that?
Ah, Certified Etiquette Professional.
Okay, you told me. I just saw it then. Okay.
Mm-hmm, which basically, I'm CEP and CEO, so yay. Mm-hmm. But it just basically means that I've been trained to teach etiquette. You know, I'm actually certified for general or adult etiquette, business and child and teen etiquette. So it's just that,
That
extra layer of confidence so my clients know that, you know, I kind of know what I'm talking about and I can help them, you know, achieve their goals.
Okay, give us an example of etiquette, of someone you're teaching etiquette to.
One example, most of my clients are parents. Most of my clients are moms and dads who want to give their children introductory etiquette lessons. Now they've covered the very basics at home, such as say please and thank you. You know, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Don't put your elbows on the table.
Boy, do we need you in this family?
Well, you'd be surprised. Sometimes in my own family, I'm like, I can't believe nobody would believe I do this for a living. Look at my family. But they kind of need me to take their children to the next level, which is, you know, it deals more with things like communication styles, social interaction, correspondence, even internet etiquette. I've instructed children on the best way to conduct themselves when they're online. And of course, you know, my rule of thumb or my motto is don't do anything online that you would not want your parents to know about offline. That will always, you know, not only keep you, you know, safe, but you'll be, you know, you can have a sense of regard, a sense of self-esteem that will prevent you from making a lot of silly mistakes that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of young people make. And, you know, this is the internet age, and these mistakes, they do not go away. You know, all it takes is one screenshot, as you know, and it can follow you around the rest of your life. And you know, I can already tell that this is going to be a problem as this generation ages, because they don't really seem to have an edit button. It's the age of, you know, instant upload, instant download, instant gratification. And a lot of young people, they're not thinking before they hit send or hit, you know, and they're putting themselves out there and not always the best light. So that, you know, those are just examples of some of the things I cover with my younger clients. With older clients, it's everything from how to conduct oneself at a business meeting, dining protocols, social protocols, things to just, again, kind of help grease the wheel. I might, for example, if you have a brand new employee, he may not understand that when you're sending a business email, it's not quite the same as the style you use when you're just sending personal email. These are things that can negatively impact the reputation or the image of a company or a brand. So they want me to come in and sort of help to put their team members on the right track. It really has to do with your mindset. You know, when you're at work, when you're at play, you really do have to think differently. And etiquette lessons kind of help to reinforce that, yeah.
Okay, how does some people are I mean, you got some people in the business climate that do not dress properly for their job. How would the job that they do, or to keep them trying to be professional in etiquette and in their dress?
Absolutely. And again, that also is an area in which I've been trained to assist people. Part of my business etiquette module deals exclusively with dressing for success, or dressing, you know, my motto is dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yes.
Now, the only reason, the only way that wouldn't work is if you're an executive and you want to run a surfboard shop, you know, in Maui. That, in that case, I advise you not to dress for the job you want. But for the most part, dress for the job want to have. If you're a secretary of your, you know, at a company, be the best secretary you can be. But dress as if you were in middle management or a junior executive.
Exactly. I mean, you got people going to work in corporations. I mean, they're secretaries. I mean, there's CEOs, managers. I mean, you got women dressing in leggings. You know,
doing
these professional jobs.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, they say, well, it's okay because it's a casual work environment. But what we need to understand is it's not what we should never just strive to do what we are allowed to get away with. We should always set the bar higher for ourselves, even if no one else does. Even if the company work policy says, okay, you can wear this to work or on Fridays. But ask yourself, does this represent where I want to go? Does this really represent who I want to be in this capacity as an employee? And if the answer is no, then you have to take that personal sense of responsibility to do better, even if no one else is doing it, even if no one else is dressing up. And it really does affect your output. It affects how you see yourself, and that affects how you work, how you interact with others. And someone is always noticing. Someone always notices. And we want that to be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Standing out for all the right reasons, we're okay with that. but really one should do it because, you know, do it for yourself. Do it because it reflects, you know, your own sense of integrity and your work ethic.
I read in a story called You just said the title of it, Do It For Yourself. I've written a story, and it's published, called Do It For Yourself. Basically, it's about working for yourself, letting the 9-to-5 go and just start doing things for yourself. Instead of working for someone else, your employers, they're kicking you around. I mean, get out here and do it for yourself. Because I've always tried to tell people, you can stop working for someone. You're just making them rich, and you're just getting poor and poor. They're going to lay you off, and what's going to happen? Open up. Find out what you can do. Find out what you can do.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful
book. Get out there and do it and make. And get out there and do what you can do. Instead of giving all your time and effort to an employer, give all your time and effort to yourself.
As someone who is self-employed, I'm anxious to check out your book.
Yeah, well, it's quite a few up there. Okay, you probably have to go to page 3 or 4 to find it, but you know, it's
you're very prolific. Yeah,
well, you know, I love writing. I love it. I live it. I eat it. I mean, I love it. It's a stress reducer. I'm writing as we speak right now. I'm working on 3 or 4 projects. And I just love what I'm doing. I love writing. I think it's great.
It's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. And tell us a little bit about your book.
Sure. Well, again, it's called Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. And basically, it's a parenting guide for individuals who want to raise children who are one step ahead of the curve, who are inspiring, inspired, engaging, and engaged.
Ambitious,
but you know, it's more about the journey than the destination. Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. as we become older, then we do have to focus more on our goals and as far as, you know, the end goal. But in these wonderful years of childhood, if a child is taught to love to learn, if they're taught to love the process and the journey of accomplishment, then, you know, I operate from the assumption that the results are going to be there. You don't need to worry. The results will be there. But what you want to do in these very important early years is lay down a foundation of teaching your child that the most important thing that, you know, they can do for themselves is to not be afraid to try, to explore, to engage in the world around them in a positive way. I encourage parents to introduce their children to novel concepts, different ideas. So that's why we cover things like art, music, literature, fine dining, travel, all the things that are the hallmarks of sophistication. And there's absolutely no reason why we can't start with our children. Because,
exactly.
Again,
it's
about exposure. It's about exposing them to new ideas and concepts. Kids, they're far more capable than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Well, more than I give my son credit for. You know,
well,
I mean, you
son?
Know, he's 16, and you know, teenagers, they like to think they're adults before they are adults. And
they're trying to establish their autonomy. In other words, they're trying to broaden their sphere of independence. So of course they're going to downplay any interpersonal relationships that sort of speak to a sense of interdependence. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's not only typical for his age group, but it's actually natural. It's actually okay, because what they do is they always bounce back. Once they realize what they can do on their own, which is why they don't want us in their lives at all, once they gain a good sense of exactly what their limitations are, then they begin to incorporate back into their lives those aspects that we, you know, usually come to associate with interdependence, which is, you know, hanging out with mom and dad, wanting and seeking their advice and their approval. So it's kind of a rubber band effect, but it's quite quite natural and quite normal. And I have to say, some of the ideas and projects in my book are definitely geared toward making that process a lot more enjoyable and a lot easier
to
get through. There's some fun.
Do you
stuff
mind
in the
if
book,
you
fun ideas?
Okay. Do you mind reading an excerpt, just a small excerpt of the book?
Well,
if you have it with you.
Well, I do have it with me. The only thing is, and this is not necessarily a problem, it's just I am legally blind. I'm visually impaired. So I actually have my information read back to me on my device. I have like assistive technology. So...
Wow, that is stunning.
Yeah, there's a little tidbit
sound
for
as
you.
You sound as if you're just seeing the world
But I'm such a chatterbox. This is something that happened in my adult life. So I was grateful to, you know, not have this affect me until I was actually 38 when it happened. So yeah, mm-hmm. I was fortunate. I've been grateful for every minute, every second, every mm-hmm. year where I did have fully functioning sight. And actually, I don't know. I'm still kind of rocking it. I'm in a good place. But no, I
that's
wouldn't
great.
Be able to. Thank you.
I mean, that's wonderful.
I wouldn't be able to read it with the same sort of diction because I have to read very slowly.
Okay.
That's
fine.
But,
that's okay.
All right, you have to take a rain check. Next time I'll memorize a paragraph and I will I'll read it to you.
Well,
from
next
memory.
Time I'll know that you can't. You know, you're blind, and I probably won't even ask you to read it or to read an excerpt.
Well.
You know,
I encourage you to. I would love to. I really would, and I would. I'd be happy to do that. I'll just be better prepared next time. I'll put it that way.
I wanted to ask you, your book. Does your book incorporate a lot of your own experiences?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful to have had the. You know, type of childhood, you know, that would make a book like this possible. In so many ways, you know, I mean, I come from a family of Southern belles, very strong Southern women. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that this was not necessarily, you know, the case everywhere, that this wasn't necessarily normal. But my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, you know, maternal and paternal. They were just amazing, beautiful, strong women and very sophisticated. And as an African American, that's just something that's always given me so much pride. So I was able to bring, you know, a lot to the table as far as drawing on personal experiences. And my mother passed away last June 1st, actually. I lost my mother to cancer. And so this book was very much a therapeutic labor of love, and so much of my childhood and my relationship with my mother was always sort of at the back of my mind as I was writing. So it was a wonderful, a bittersweet, but a wonderful experience. Just to have that to draw upon, knowing that the foundation that I speak of as far as how we want to raise our children to be responsible and confident and respectful. I was fortunate, you know, to have had those values instilled in me as a child. It was just important to me that I also present those ideas in a way that let parents understand that this is about their journey with their children. No two families are alike. And as a writer and as a writer of a parenting guide, it's so important to leave room for parents to execute their own personal parenting style. What you're doing is just giving them a framework or, you know, fun and insightful and helpful ideas. So it is very much about the parents. I don't like preachy parenting books, so I was determined not to write one.
You know, I've written one parenting book. I've written it. I think it was published in 2011, and I also rewrote it, and to be a Kindle download book. So and it was tough. It was tough writing it, and I get a lot of criticism for it. But you know, I try. I'm a tough guy. I mean, I write what I think.
I was telling the truth.
You know. But a lot of people disagree with some of the things in the book. I, you know, like I said, if you're going to criticize,
something positive, you know, to go forward with.
Something positive.
And, you know, it's all part of the conversation we need to be having about parenting. Mm-hmm. So unless it's just absolutely malicious, it's all, you know, it can turn out to be helpful. No, I mean,
I think it's helpful because that's what.
Right.
I think the book was helpful because that's the reason why I wrote it, to be helpful, even though I was critical of a lot of things, and a lot of people contacted me and told me that I shouldn't be as critical as I should be to some degree. But basically, it's based on some of my experiences of being around real parents, who are parenting, and some of them weren't doing a good job of it. And being around teachers of you know, in some of these schools out here, and finding out that some of the teachers aren't really up to par. I mean, I was really critical on a lot of things, and I'm proud of the book, you know, so.
That, well, at the end of the day, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. And even when we say things that make people uncomfortable, that absolutely does not mean that we shouldn't say it.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean.
Right. Often,
I've always
those
said,
are the things that really need to be said.
I've always said if everybody agreed with me on everything I wrote and said, it wouldn't be any fun. But if you disagree with me, we can always debate it, you know.
Right. Right. I agree. I completely agree. You piqued my curiosity. Now I want to read this incendiary book of yours.
Oh, it's on Amazon. Where can we find your book? The book you've been talking about so far.
It is on Amazon as well. Just go to Amazon.com. And again, the name of the book is Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. And just eager for parents out there to read and enjoy the book. And don't hesitate to send me feedback or just connect with me. You can connect with me, you know, right there on Amazon. I'd love to hear from readers. And, you know, I just love sharing. It's a high. It's such a thrill to communicate with people who found your book, you know, helpful or inspiring. And I've been very, very blessed. The book, as of yesterday, it was number 21 in the parenting category on Amazon.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. So, I just want to thank everyone who's been so supportive of the book. And I look forward to connecting with more readers. So again, the book is Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child, and you can find it on Amazon.
We will be looking for it. Believe me, what would you say to aspiring writers who want to write but somehow can't seem to start?
That's very much an issue, just because it seems like such an overwhelming goal, such an overwhelming project that often you don't know where to start. And even I myself, I knew exactly what I wanted to write, and I still found it difficult to take those first steps. In fact, now I wrote my book in 3 weeks, but that's
3 weeks.
I'm the type. Yeah, I'm the. But I'm the type.
I can't even write a short story in 3 weeks.
But I'm, you know what, George? My situation is very atypical. I'm very type A. Once I start writing, you will not see, hear. I will disappear for weeks.
And you're blind.
Constantly. Yes. I write when I have an idea and I'm ready to go with it. I write constantly. I really can't poke my head up like a little groundhog until it's finished. That's just how I work. And then I go, you know, longer periods where I'm not writing. So, but it is difficult to start. But one thing I find that's really helpful, just lay out your chapters. Just lay out your chapters. Because when you do, it's very empowering. This little spark comes on in your brain. And you're like, wait a minute, those are chapters now. Hey, books have chapters. That means I'm about to write a book. And the rest, it really is easy after that. When you get into that groove where you just can't stop writing, that's a good place to be in. But just start with your chapters. Just start with your chapters. Okay. You don't have to write them. Just outline them.
All right, Tara, would you like to – is there anything you haven't said already that you would like to tell my audience before we go?
Well, I really enjoyed hanging out with you guys today. And George, thank you again for having me on the show. And
no problem.
You know, and thank you for what you do to support indie authors. I'm so glad that with the ease of digital publishing, it's just so easy for people to connect with potential readers. And and I also want to invite single parents to purchase my book, because there aren't a lot of parenting books that speak to single parents, and I think that they'll find my book is particularly enjoyable and helpful. So thank you, George.
All right, no problem. Would you like, once this show is over, podcast and download it, there's going to be a link to it. Would you like a link to the show? Maybe you can put it on your website, your blog, or whatever you can for your fans and your clients to listen to. Would you like
absolutely.
A link?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was
George. Absolutely.
I will send you a link to the show.
And I would also like to offer a paperback copy of the book that I'd be happy to sign that you can have a giveaway at some point in the future. Be more than happy to give you that. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tara Turner on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks, Tara. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, George. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Tara Turner on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was great. She was marvelous. We will be back, folks. Let's see if we can queue up this. Let's go and queue up this musical song. Maybe we can. Yeah, here we go. Be right back. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. Smart quiz question for the day is how many U.S. senators are there? How many U.S. senators? Put it this way. How many senators are there in the U.S. Congress? Do you cook? I love cooking. Why am I talking about cooking? Because I love to cook. Folks, I've been cooking since I can remember. You know, so I've been doing it a long, long time. Some of my best dishes are, my son likes soul food. He likes soul food. And I just love to cook. I mean, I've had jobs and positions getting paid to cook. I volunteered to do some cooking, food prepping. I just love to cook. I love to eat, you know, but Doc said I have to slow down on loving some of the things they eat, you know. So, but George, you're eating a lot of the wrong things, but I still love to cook. And, you know, I know a lot of women, for some reason, some women, especially if a lot of women are living alone, they say, well, I've met some women in my life who haven't lived alone and say they don't have anybody to cook for, so that's the reason why they don't cook. I disagree with that. I mean, I think if you love to cook, even if you're alone, cook the things you want to eat. I think cooking for yourself is a lot cheaper than eating out. Why am I talking about cooking? Because someone put it on my board. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Talk of Our Times, the George Wilder Jr. Show. Smart quiz question. How many senators are there in the U.S. Congress? I'm pretty sure you know that. My audience is smart. My audience is intelligent. My audience know what it is. The answer is. If you don't know, I'll have it by the end of the show, if not sooner. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, I want to thank my marvelous guest, my fabulous guest, Tara Turner. She was fabulous, wasn't she? She was knowledgeable. She knew what she was talking about. And pretty sure she will be back on the show. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see if we have. And this is the...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Minute. Yeah. What, you know, Trump supporters say he is not a racist. He is not a sexist. He is somebody who has been an entertainer and who has taken a hard line on certain issues that really appeal to part of this so-called angry electorate, like on immigration, and that his it's his detractors misrepresenting his remarks that lead people to those conclusions.
I understand the dysfunction of our government and how people can be offended by that, and they're not the only ones, Trump supporters.
The angry folks.
I get that. And yet, the point I tried to make there is what the alternative is to fixing that. And I just don't think that someone who doesn't have the sort of humanity, the sort of civility, the kind of integrity
that
we need right now to move America in the right direction is an option.
You know, he says, I'm not PC. That doesn't mean I don't have humanity.
No, there's nothing wrong with not, without being, there's nothing wrong with not being PC. The problem is whether or not you're moving America in the direction that it needs to be moving. And when you're trying to turn the clock back on America with some of the comments that he's making.
Like what specifically?
Well, we could do this all day long, but his anti-Muslim comments, his anti-immigrant comments, the way they maltreat persons at these rallies. I mean, this happens every single day. So every time somebody asks me, what are you talking about? This is the stuff that Fox is covering every day that comes out of his mouth. And we act like we don't hear this. But Donald Trump can be disciplined if he, you know, the question is, can he be disciplined enough to win the nomination in the days ahead? My thing is, whether he's disciplined or not, his true colors have already come out. We see Donald Trump for who he is on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm not really sure, as crazy as it sounds, that I know who Donald Trump is, because on any given day, he changes positions on the issue umpteen number.
But not long ago, you suggested that you believed black Americans could get behind Donald Trump, which is a very different message from what we've heard from you recently. So why did you say that to begin with?
I believed from the very beginning, as I've always believed, that black voters have to stop being taken for granted by one party and ignored by another party. And I said to Democrats, In a year where conventional wisdom left the station before the train did, don't assume that black folk are going to be in lockstep.
Well, what is the evidence that Trump has any sort of bias against African Americans?
I'm not even so much. I could make the case that he has a bias against African Americans in the way that he's campaigned, the things he's said. But let's put it another way. Why should anyone be elected president who runs a segregated campaign, whether it's Trump, Cruz, or anybody else? And what I mean by this, that is simply this. If you can't campaign to all of America, if you're only campaigning to one slice of America, then how do we believe that you want to be president for all of America? Put another way, if Barack Obama had only campaigned in the ghetto, he wouldn't have been taken seriously as a candidate. You got to campaign to all of America, whether or not they agree with your message. We have to know that you care about all of us and that all of our votes matter to you, and worth the evidence that Donald Trump or Ted Cruz have said to the rest of America that your vote matters to me and I'm willing to compete for it. Here's an agenda that includes you.
I want to ask you about...
All right, that's Tavis Smiley talking about Donald Trump. This is before Donald Trump won New York. Sad to say, he's been really, really critical of Donald Trump. I mean, there's nothing. Tavis Smiley runs from one television show host to the next. He's on radio, he's on television, running from one place to the next, skewing Donald Trump, talking about Donald Trump. He doesn't like Donald Trump. It's not that I do not like Donald Trump. He might be a good guy, but he's just not, he's unfit to be president. But he is on his way to the nomination, so I'm pretty sure Travis Smiley is trying to get down what he's going to say next about Donald Trump. But anyway, let's get back to... President of the Teachers Union in Chicago, Karen Lewis, who just said Governor Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, is an ISIS, could be, or is acting like ISIS recruit. Now, I can't stand Governor Rauner. I don't like him. He's vindictive. He's nasty. He's mean. But I don't think he's an ISIS recruit. And some people are calling for Lewis to apologize to Rauner and to apologize to her 30,000 members of her own union, she owes an apology. They are better than that. If she is not, yes, she's going crazy. Maybe because she had brain surgery a few months back. She lost a lot of weight. That could have played a part in it. But I disagree with calling him, labeling him, you know, mentioning ISIS in the same breath as Bruce Brown. He's not, I don't know, I'm assuming he's not with ISIS in any way. I mean, I do think that was wrong, calling him that. He's a bad governor. He's a failed governor. He doesn't give a damn about the state. He hasn't done anything positive for this state since he's been in office. But I don't think he deserves the label of an ISIS recruit, or even if she said that he's acting like an ISIS recruit. Governor Bruce Brown of Illinois, he's a lot of awful things. Believe me, he's a Republican governor. He's a lot of awful things because he's sitting back and just waiting for this state to fall off the cliff. I've been talking about Bruce Rauner since the day he took office, and he took office in January of 2015. And his first day in office, folks, this guy's first day in office, he began slashing and cutting and burning social programs that are hurting or have hurt the disabled, seniors, the mentally ill, children with autism, daycare centers, food pantries. I mean, you name it. Bruce Rauner even tries to stop federal money from coming into the state. He tries to stop that, which has nothing whatsoever to do with what he's asking for. He's an awful person. And if you listen to this show day in and day out, you know that I do not like him. And I'm not the only one who does not like Bruce Rauner. I'm just one of those people who is on the air, a radio show, talk show host that comes out and say it. And you know what, Bruce Rauner? No, you don't like him. He knows people in this state don't like him. I don't know, somehow he's getting off on that because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Him and his rich buddies, they don't give a damn if we like him or don't like him or do not like him. They just know that they're going to take this state under if Bruce Rauner doesn't get what he wants. And basically what he wants, folks, is to destroy unions in the state of Illinois. Is to destroy workman compensation so that people who get hurt on their jobs, they have no way of getting covered, being covered. These things, they have nothing to do with the budget. Folks, we've been 10 months without a budget. We go 2 more months without a budget, that will equal 1 year without a budget. And 1 year in this town without a budget means that Bruce Rauner has to go. He has to go. He's got to go. He must go. We, the people in the state of Illinois, we're going to get together. We're going to ride our bikes, catch the train, jump in our cars, walk. We're going to get to the Capitol in Springfield and throw this guy out by his long ears. He's done nothing whatsoever for the state of Illinois. Nothing. Everything he's done to hurt this state. He's done nothing positive. He's done nothing constructive. And that's fine with him. He's been criticized by everyone. He's been criticized by people in his own party. He ignores them. He's been criticized by other governors, other Republican governors, and he just ignores them or he spins the truth. And they're talking about a teacher strike. This is crazy. Chicago is in a mess, and we have a governor who doesn't address these problems. He doesn't talk about the teacher strike. He doesn't talk about the failing schools in the city of Chicago. He doesn't talk about them. He doesn't give a damn about these schools. You know why? Because they're field because unions, because of unions, because of teachers have unions. They have representation, and he doesn't like that. And he wants to take $74 million from an already broke-ass system. The schools are already broke. They are penniless, and he wants to take that from them. Arguing if he doesn't take $74,000 from them, $74 million, that they're going to be further in debt. That's a stupid argument. That's a dumb argument. Wow. This is crazy, folks. We will be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our time. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago.
I totally agree, but I don't think he's a terrorist. I don't think he's a terrorist. Karen Lewis is right on television behind me. She is driving this union into the ground. A lot of people are not agreeing with her on the things that she's saying. And the teachers want to go on strike again in Chicago. April 1st, they were already out here, one day of action. Now they might go on strike as soon as May 16th, 2016, next month. And this is crazy. Every time you look around, these teachers are asking for something. They don't have a contract. Can't they understand that the state is broke and deeply in debt? No, they cannot. They want what they want. These teachers in Chicago, the union, they don't care about the kids. They don't care about how they are cheating these children out of their education. They just want to fill their damn pockets with more taxpayer money that they do not deserve. The teachers in Chicago make more money than in other big cities around America. They make pretty damn good money. Yet they got to get their asses out there and march for more. More. And I'm not against unions, but I'm against these hog-ass unions who are greedy, who are upending our children because they want more money. But you know, you got a lot of kids out there. I'm for my teacher getting more money. Your teacher is making a hell of a lot of money already in the city of Chicago. And somehow they just want more and more and more, being led by this Karen Lewis, who is vindictive. She's greedy. They have to understand they have to make sacrifices because the city is broke. The Illinois is not paying his bills. The governor is not paying his bills. He's already corrupt for not paying his bills. The vendors have left Chicago because they don't want to do any more business with Illinois because Illinois is not paying them. And this is a damn shame. It's a damn shame. And now she's calling the governor, whom I do not like, and along with a million other people we do not like, but a lot of us do not think that he should be saddled with the label terrorist. You know, she's calling him terrorist because all the programs and things that he has slashed and burned, and he wants to do away with this and do away with that. The unemployment, the hurt that he's caused, and he's caused a lot of it, folks. He's the worst governor in state of Illinois. There's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. But being a terrorist, I don't know. He's just a multimillionaire with a lot of money who wants to come in and control Illinois, and the Democrats in the legislature say no, and he's not going to do it. But a terrorist, no way. You know, Bruce Rauner, no way. I think he's a big, fat coward. That's what I think he is. You know, so for him to be labeled that, I think she's wrong. Karen Lewis, the head of the teachers union in Chicago, I think she's wrong. I hope everything is all right in your state, folks, because everything is hell here in Chicago and in the state of Illinois, and we're trying to fight back. Basically, we have to fight back. We have to take our state back from this guy. He hasn't done anything constructive. 347-857-1762. If somebody want to call here or inbox me or email me, and if you think Bruce Rauner has done something constructive, please let me know, because I just don't see it. A lot of us don't. I mean, I don't think he's done anything. Of course, Bruce Rauner has his yes people. He has his minions, his flunkies, who are going to go around the state, you know, advocating for his call, for his, you know, advocating for his, you know, whatever he wants to advocate about. And it's just awful, folks. It's just awful in Illinois. But let me say this. Even though I'm downing Illinois, I'm saying some pretty awful things. It's a beautiful state. And I hate the fact that people are leaving. I hate the fact that business are leaving because of the climate here. The high taxes. We have Governor Rauner. He's not paying bills. Business is leaving. And a lot, like I said, just got through saying, a lot of vendors are giving up on the state of Illinois because they haven't gotten paid. I mean, we're $8 or $9 billion in debt in Illinois. And nobody seems to be high about that. You know, taxes. John Cullerton, the guy in the Senate, wanted to tax drivers every mile that they drove. That died. People called in and they were pissed off, and he gave up on that idea. We are taxed to death in the state of Illinois. They still want to tax us. Of course, the people that are doing the taxing the middle class, the poor, they are rich, you know, and they don't even pay taxes, but they want to tax you and me. And they don't even pay any taxes. They try to get out of paying taxes. Rauner is a multimillionaire. The employee that's working at McDonald's making $9 or $10 an hour is paying more taxes than Governor Bruce Rauner. And he's a multimillionaire. That person that's making $9 an hour, $7 an hour is paying more taxes than the Nabisco Corporation, than the Ford Corporation. That's a shame, and they constantly want people like that to burden more taxes and more taxes and more. And they try to justify raising taxes. There is no justification for raising all these damn taxes. You're going to be pricing people out of their homes. They can't pay all these high-ass property taxes. Even if you're a renter, do not think that you're not paying property taxes. Just because you don't have a home, own a house somewhere, you are paying property taxes. Guess what? If you don't know it, your property tax is included in your rent. Every time you drop off that paycheck at that management office, or you drop it in the mail, whatever you're doing, you're paying property taxes. If you are a renter, nobody gets out of this. Everybody's going to feel this. Everybody's feeling this. Nobody escapes this if you live in Chicago. No one, except for the politicians and the corporations, the rich politicians and the corporations. They get away with it. We don't. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. The question was, how many senators are there in the U.S. Congress? There are 100 senators in the U.S. Congress. There are 2 senators from each state, and there are 50 states. So 50 times 2 is 100, means that there is 100 senators from each state. How many representatives are there in Congress? There are 435 representatives in the U.S. Congress. So there you have it. I gave you a little, I put in an extra little question in there. And both of those, they're constitutional questions. So it's easy. You can find those answers anywhere. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Like I said before, I don't think that she should have in no way, shape, or form called Governor Rauner, even though he's awful, totally awful, a terrorist or a terrorist affiliate or anything, or she shouldn't even mention him and terrorists in the same sentence. That's wrong. I don't know. Something is wrong with Karen Lewis. I just don't know what it is. She's the leader of the teachers union in Chicago. I don't know. She's done snapped her brain done gone haywire or something. I don't know, because all it seems that she wants to do, if I can say it, is strike. Every time I look around, this woman's got her face up on television talking about the teachers going to strike. And how is that benefiting the children of Chicago? Every time you look around, these people are walking out in the street. They're walking out of classroom. The parents are getting pissed off. And they should be. They should stop siding with some of these teachers who are just damn greedy. I know there's people out there saying, hey, stop bashing teachers. We do a great job. Some of you do, some of you don't. I mean, especially the teachers in Chicago, every time I look around, they're on strike. They're in the downtown loop holding up traffic, stopping people from going into stores because they want to be seen. They want to be noticed. So they're all in the damn streets, on the highways, protesting. And these teachers, as I've said, folks, are the highest paid teachers in America, at least in some parts of this country. They are not being paid poverty wages. No way. But they have to understand that the state is broke. The city is broke. There is no money. There's 60,000 to 80,000 state workers in the state of Illinois. They are in jeopardy of not getting their paychecks because there is no budget. The teachers have to understand we're all suffering. If they think they can't get out of not suffering, they're fooling themselves. Everybody's bearing the brunt of this if you're in the state of Illinois. There's people moving out. There's people moving out of the city of Chicago. If you can afford it, you can move. If you can't, you're going to stay here. And I always say to people, stay. Don't move. Stay. Stay. Fight for your cities. Fight for your state. Fight for your neighborhood. Fight for your community. Don't give it up. Don't move. I'm going to stay here and fight because I don't want to leave my state to Bruce Rauner. Somebody has to, you know, keep saying things about him, negative things about him, because he doesn't think crap of his state. He doesn't think crap. Why did he run for Illinois? Why did he run for governor? To do nothing? Okay, he's saying that I've heard that he's not taking a salary. Bruce Rauner is not taking a government salary, a governor's salary. He's taking $1. Okay, that's nothing. Okay. But his wife is taking a six-figure salary. Give me a break. That money is going into the family. Give me a break. So they are taking something together, but they're making it seem like he's not taking anything, but his wife is taking it for him. That's what that is. And also, he's a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it, but apparently his wife needs it. Okay? Apparently she needs it. So, you know, I mean, you got to understand something. Rauner has his finger on everything. Right now, we haven't heard from Rauner. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks, and we have not heard from him. But the moment we hear from him, he's going to come up with some sort of proposal, ignorant, dumbass proposal, that he's going to throw out there and say, take this, take that, do it my way, do it my way, and do it my way. And then he's gone. And he won't be back. He's gone, and you won't see him for another 3 weeks. And he's going to come out and say the same thing with some damn idiotic proposal saying, basically, do it my way, do it my way, and then you do it my way, or it's the highway. Basically, if you summarize what he talks about, that's what he's saying. You know, and then he's off. He doesn't take questions. He doesn't talk to the press. He doesn't talk to the people of Illinois, at least not the people upstate. He may go downstate and talk to folks, do, you know, photo ops and all that kind of thing. But he doesn't talk to people in Chicago. I actually think the man is a racist. Of course, if you ask him, he's going to say, no, he's not. But I actually think he's a racist. I really do. I truly do. I mean, who would do such damage to a great state like this, affecting so many people, so many African Americans, so many middle class people, people who are trying to pay their car notes, people who are trying to pay their house notes, people who are trying to send their kids to school, colleges, and universities? Who would do that unless they were a racist? Maybe a borderline racist. I don't know. I think the guy is a racist. I mean, whenever I see him on television in front of a microphone, standing there all by himself, giving us the, you know, talking to us. Actually, when he's standing at a mic, he's talking down to you. He's not talking with you. He's not talking. He's talking down to you, or maybe he's talking at you. But he's never talking with you. You know, it's his way or the highway. And if he can't get what he wants, he's going to destroy Illinois. And then he's going to go on a tantrum and blaming other people. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, Internet Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. My number is 347-857-1762. If you don't want to call in, just sit back and listen to the show. Give me some feedback. I always love your great feedback. I want to thank everybody for doing that. I always do that all the time because I'm so humble when people give me constructive feedback, which I do love. I mean, it keeps me going. As I was telling Tara and some of the other guests that have been on the show, when people come on my show, it's not an interview. It's more like a conversation. And I'm pretty sure that's what my listeners go for. They go for a conversation, and I try to give them that conversation on my show. And it is fun. Okay, we got about, 5.5 minutes left into the show, I've been told. So let's go. All right. Let's see if we can queue up a clip. Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yes, we might have a President Trump, folks. Let's hope not.
Father, open eyes that we may.
Someone's saying 90 seconds. Ben Carson hates to see genocidal slave owner Jackson replaced on the $20 bill. Yeah, they are replacing Jackson on the $20 bill with Harriet Tubman. And Ben Carson doesn't like that. Well, Ben Carson, we don't really care what you like. You know, you are a failed presidential candidate. We don't care what you like. he hates to see a slave owner. See genocide slave owner Jackson replaced. Okay, Jackson was a slave owner. He's being replaced by someone who was a slave, Harriet Tubman, if I got my facts right, if I got this article right. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, just about off the air. I want to thank my guest, Tara Turner. She was sweet. She was wonderful. She was kind. She knew what she was talking about. That's the kind of people I want on my show. All right, join me tomorrow, folks, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, I'm gone. I'm out. We'll be right back.
She is so ugly, but she's smart. Unless